Well, in different phases of my life, I have actually trained in a physical sense. Used to jog and work out, and I know that sounds funny to you. If you're listening to me, I'm sure that a Grizzard and Sarah Batchelor are rolling their eyes right now. That I used to work out. I know it seems funny, but yes, I did. That was me. And during high school, I had a period of time that I would work out after high school. There was a period of time when I went to college. There was this time frame there that I worked out and was really in good shape. When I lived out in Texas, there was a time that I worked out with a friend of mine, Mark, and he and I had a good time doing it. Even back here in Georgia a few years ago, I really got into working out and eating right and lost a lot of weight. You know, I had a seasons of being in shape, is the way I would call it. But seasons, you know, you can look at me now and maybe say I'm probably not in that season that I'm working out very much. You know why? Because I had a tumor once, and so therefore, you know, when you had a tumor in your leg, it's hard for you to work out anymore. I know you are rolling your eyes at that also. I'm sure you are. My wife Heidi, she's been working out here the past few weeks and months, and she looks great. She goes and trains, and she runs. She's up to about 5 or 6 miles a day, and she really looks great and getting in shape. You know, but the key word here is discipline. The key word is discipline in our lives. When I used to run, you know, it would hurt at the very beginning. I asked a runner one time that really runs. Not someone like me, but really, really runs. I said, "Does it hurt? Do you, after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 miles running, you know, in a way that is just unbelievable?" They say it actually gets not harder, but it seems like something just takes over in your body. And when you're running a marathon, it gets not as hard as you think it would. Your body begins to take shape, begins to realize what is happening, and you have trained well for that, and that we finish strong. I know when even my little times of running where I would run the 3 or 4 miles at a time, I know I seemed like I would really run strong at the end. It felt good. I accomplished something. It was just a accomplishment that I liked. They say that the chemicals in your body begin to react when you're running and you reach that point and it releases that. And it's just really an exciting and a fulfilling time as you run. But the author of Hebrews really had this in his mind when he was beginning to teach this house church, began to really just show them about their Christian life. So I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And if right there in your living room or your den, I don't imagine anybody's outside today. I think some of you watch outside, but you can stand, you know, for this, just in honor of God's word as we read this together. It's 13 verses, so let's go. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. should we not even be more willing to be the subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seemed of the best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share his holiness. Now, a discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight a path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Some beautiful scripture today in the name of the Lord. If you're at home, I hope you can be seated. Here the author Hebrews is addressed to a house church. This house church at the very beginning was the church that was on fire. It was on fire for the Lord. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter the cost. It didn't matter anything about it. They, you know, the public insults came to them, but they had the courage to see them through. Their possessions were taken away, but when somebody would come in and take their possessions away, is that they would have a smile on their face. The church would rally around those who were in prison for their faith. They would make sure they go visit them, make sure they prayed for them. So this church was on fire for a very long time, this house church was. But somewhere along the line, hardships really began to build up. This time of running with the Lord, this time of persevering with the Lord, began to add up maybe, and hardships became a part of the community. They began to have discouragement begin to come in, and they began to at last begin to stop attending together, as we have to talk about, is that this discouragement sets in, and begins to lead the believers saying, I don't want to be a part of the body of Christ anymore. There's a big move in the book of Hebrews for us, and I've been preaching on it long and long, not to drift away or not to turn our backs on the faith. And that's what was beginning to happen, that people were just had enough of it, that they were being persecuted for their faith and whatever the case is. But every believer throughout our walk will have some type of suffering, some type of suffering. We'll have a dark night, as one author said many, many years ago. John the Cross wrote something of that deep, dark night that every Christian will face in their walk with the Lord, the suffering that we have to go to some point. There's many of us, we walk away from the faith because we just had enough. We lose a loved one, and we don't understand why that loved one had to be lost. Or we lose a job, or we lose our health, or we find ourselves in the church, and we have church, what we call church hurt, and someone you feel like purposely hurt you, and that you just say, you know, I'm just going to walk away from the faith. I'm going to walk away because someone used me or someone hurt me. And trust me, there is a legitimate church hurt at times, but I've learned through the years that a high percentage of it is not because of the leadership, it's because we often want our way, and when the church leadership says no, and we have hurt there. And so whatever the reasons are, we have other friendships that were so close, and now they're utter broken, that we walk away from the faith. It's that we think of ourselves and look around. I mean, we look around and say, does anyone even care about us? Does anyone even care? And it says out here that beginning of this scripture was that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded by them. They're looking down upon us. And we talked a little bit last week is that we can follow their lead. We can follow how they walk with the Lord, how they chose to persevere. Where's your faith today? What is your faith in? This scripture here is talking about the faith, and where's your faith? How much faith do you have? Has that faith been seasoned with God's love? Has that faith been built on the things that when suffering does come, or when a pandemic does come? I wasn't even going to mention today, but I'll go ahead and just mention it. It comes. Where's our faith? Many say, I want to get out. I want to do. I want to be with my church body. Are you feeling like that your faith is being is slipping because you cannot be with your church family? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Let's lay aside every weight and every sin that clings too closely. Let's talk a little bit about this weight and this sin. Well, there's two different things that the author is talking about. There's weight and there is sin. Where I literally here is talking about, if we're talking about we're running a race, the author is saying we're running a race, is this weight literally means the fat. And some of the theologians said it talks about the fat. But it's literally not fat. It's about the weights that really hinders us in our walk with Jesus Christ. If you look at a runner, if I started running right now, I don't have a lot of fat. And my wife is probably rolling her eyes. Is that it would hinder me from really running an effective race. It would really hinder me. And so in a small group of a few weeks ago on our Zoom meeting, I began to ask some of those, what are the weights that really hinder us from really going on with the Lord, really running with perseverance and what God has called us to do? And one of the number one things that came up was we cannot escape from our past. We cannot escape from the past that we once had and how we lived a life that was hard to be, before God, that we hurt people. We had so many hurtful relationships and how we destroyed our lives. And a lot of times that weight, it holds that past and those things that we have done holds us back and we can't get away with it. Or we may have a spouse that reminds us of our past. We might have a friend that often throws our past up in our face and we're saying, that stuff is forgiven, but it still weighs us down and we have not moved on from our past. Or past abuses when we were children that keeps weighing us down. And the Lord wants us to run to Him. The Lord wants us to run with perseverance. But we allow these weights in our life to keep us. It could be our finances. It could be toxic relationships. It could be the expectations that others have of us. You know, that we have the people have, we think people have these expectations that they have of us. And that is true. And that we can't live up to those expectations. I'm thankful today that I don't have to live up to the expectations in my Christian walk, except the expectations that Jesus Christ or His Word has placed on me. I'm thankful for that. But this weight that weighs us down, that we cannot run with perseverance, we cannot run with authority. But it also says that, it says here, lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. The word cling there, that clings so closely. In other words, this word here means a crossing the line. Crossing the line is that whatever sin that is for you, I'll let you answer that today. You know, if I should go from the weight, it can move over into a gluttony. It's a sin. Or dwelling in the past experiences, and you begin to enjoy thinking about those past experiences, whatever they were, and it moves over in that temptation, it moves us over into sin. And so the author is saying, you got to take these things, you got to lay them aside if you're going to run with what God has set before you. Let me say this. One author put it this way: giving into weights and finally sin begins to harden our hearts and closes our ears to the word of the Lord. And we begin distancing ourselves from the Lord and the people that can hold up our weary arms the most. It's when we allow these weights to stay on us, or when we allow sin in our life, it begins to harden our hearts. It begins to close our listening. And we begin to distance ourselves from the ones that could actually help us. How many times I have seen this in my walk with the Lord, even in my own life, is when back years ago, when sin was present, I did not want to be with people of God. I didn't want to be around them. And so when we give into these weights and we're running this race with the Lord, when He's running along with us and we begin to allow these things to come in our life, we have a tendency that we don't want to be a part of a small group anymore. We don't want to assemble ourselves anymore around other people, out of God, because they can help. It says here that we must run. Listen, we're saying, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, that steadfastness, that person who has not swerved from their deliberate purpose and authority to faith, by even the greatest trials and suffering is that word perseverance means that they keep running the race that is set before us. You know, that race that is set before us, God calls us to many a race for all of us to live for the Lord, to live for Him, and to follow Him. But He has set a race for each individual to set a set before us. And oftentimes we think, what is that race and what does God wants to do? But He calls us into a race shield that we can run with power. Jesus is at the beginning and the end of this race. He's the pioneer. Listen, looking to Jesus to pioneer and perfecter our faith. See, we're not alone. We're not alone in this race. It's that the Lord has provided everything that we need to live in victory, that He's called us to. When hardships come, when the world throws at us, whatever the world throws at us, is that we have an understanding that Jesus is He's the beginning and the end and the perfecter of our faith, that we're not running alone. It says here, who is for the sake of joy that was set before Him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, has taken His seat at the right hand of the throne of God, that race before us. Through it all, He has finished the race and sits and He rests beside His Father on the right hand of God. Is that He is our example. Even at the beginning, there's this cloud of witnesses that's looking. But what is so beautiful and so wonderful is that God is looking. God is involved. God, our God, is not a God that sits over here. He's running with us. He's carrying us at the moments in our walk with Him. And I just want to encourage our heart today through these things. What this scripture is saying to us today, that we are this race that's set before us. Don't stop running. He's called you to something. He wants you to run with perseverance. He wants you to run with power and glory when hardships comes. And at times we have to get in our prayer closets. I hope we get in our prayer closets every day. But there's times we have to run and to just fall on our face before Him and say, Lord, I'm weary. I'm undone. I am weary. This is getting so hard. But it says here that Jesus ran the race with joy. With joy. Often I hear the language of, man, Christian living is so hard. There's no joy in the race. There's just no joy at all. I have a saying a lot of times, in a joy the journey. Some of you have heard me say that, enjoy the journey. So Tim, how do you enjoy the journey when this world is so full and we lose loved ones and, you know, situations come in our lives, some of our own doing, some are not of our own doing. I enjoy the journey because I know Jesus has gone before and he suffered and died with joy in His heart because He knew what He was doing for our creation. That's how we get through it. I want to enjoy the journey. I just don't want to exist. I just don't want to be that Christian that just has a few moments with the Lord from time to time. I want to have a relationship that when I'm running, that it feels good. Down deep, we're emotional beings, and we don't base things on feeling, but we're emotional beings. And when I'm in tune with the Lord, and when I'm persevering, and when I'm moving, it's amazing how it makes me feel. And even when my physical body and I'm really exercising and stuff, I tell people all the time. Mike Wood was my accountability partner for years, and he would talk about his times of running and being in shape. And he would, stop running as much, and he would gain a little weight, and how sluggish it makes us. What would happen if we all, as Christians, I'm preaching to myself right now, is that we actually begin to really take seriously that this is the temple of God, that we would take seriously that, and that every aspect of our bodies would line up with what God could cause us to line up with. But I believe it says here, the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken His seat at the right hand of God, the throne of God. Consider Him who endures such hostility against Himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. In other words, you don't have to grow weary, because we consider him who endured it all for us. He endured it all for us. It says here, but not yet. It could get worse. It could get worse. Your life, you're probably thinking, how can it get, how can it be worse? I don't know what's ahead, and I'm thankful that I don't know. I'm thankful that I don't know what's going to happen in the next minute. I think I am. I think I'm going to continue to preach, but I could drop, and I could be gone out of this world. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but the old saying is, but I know who holds tomorrow. It says here, but you have not yet come to the place. There might be more on you, and some of you have had issues your whole life that was not your doing. And you're still running with perseverance. You're still moving with the Lord. But it says here, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. Listen to that. It's a beautiful picture. He calls us children. He calls us children. He addresses us as children. And we have forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that we are God's children. We often forget, and we think that we're in this thing alone. That we think that, where is our Father? Where is Jesus? I'm going through a dry spell, whatever the case is. And I tell people all the time, says I can't hear from the Lord. And I always say this with as gentle as I can say it. Well, that's not his fault. Something must be going on within us. You know, just to illustrate this, and the preachers have used this illustration for years. Back in 1992, in the summer Olympics, Derek Redman was one of the ones chosen. He was running for the United States of America that was probably going to win this race. But as he began to run, his hamstring tears away, and he's not able to hardly run. And he gets up, but he keeps going. He keeps persevering, even though you can tell he's in agony, he's in pain. Tears are running out of his eyes at this point. And he's trying to make it around. And in the middle of all of this, this man begins to run down the track towards him, and a security tries to stop him, but he wouldn't have it. And later we find out that man was his father. And he puts his arm around his son, begins to carry him to the finish line. This is the picture that I think God wants us to have, is that we're not running alone, that he's our Father. He calls us children, and he runs with us, and he's going to carry us, and he'll throw his arm around us and our arm around him, and he will carry us through anything. Carry us through anything. We here in the United States of America, for some of us, we have never experienced really any hostility. We've never experienced much pain and hurt or have done without. There's some here in the United States of America that don't have food, that don't have the things that most of us have. And we don't understand sometimes this issue of that this running is ain't because we've been given so much. But in the midst of that, I've talked to so many people that have so much, even with myself. I don't struggle. But I do know in moments of my life that I felt like that God was running out of the stands. And the whole thing about this, that father had to run out of the stands, but our Father don't have to run out of the stands. He's with us the whole time. All we got to do is just open ourselves up to him. Allow him to move us. Allow him. Allow him to help us run this race. But he says here, my child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. Do not regard lightly. While the Hebrews here regards the Father as instruction, it's the teaching, that life-giving, and that benefit of the punishment that we have. See, even though it says here further down, I'm not going to read all of it, that it's painful at the time. By my understanding here is that the Father, he punishes those, or he disciplines those who he loves. It says here, one author put it this way, that he discipline is for sons and daughters, and punishment is for those who have left the faith. is that discipline is for the sons and daughters, but punishment is for those who have left the faith. See, the writer of Hebrews, there was this big movement of people leaving the church, turning their back on God. So he's trying to focus them in on who they are, who they accepted as their Savior and Lord, and the Father that's one that takes care of them. I don't know who this message is for today. You might be discouraged. You might just say it's not worth it anymore. You might have stumbled upon this live stream. You've never known. Jesus said, I don't want to live anymore. Somebody could be watching this today that is suicidal and said, I've had enough. There's good news here. God loves those. He disciplines those whom he loves. And that's a beautiful sight to me because I have children. I have children and I love them. If I didn't discipline them, if I didn't show them a way, and I've been a pastor and a youth pastor, and I've seen issues, I've seen families where they did not discipline their children. Did not discipline their children. And my heart would hurt for the children because, like it or not, children want boundaries. It's amazing when you begin to really put boundaries for children on how wonderful they begin to act and how fun. But there's no boundaries there. Their life is usually full of chaos. And the Lord is saying the same thing to us. He's our Father. He gives us boundaries. And when we walk across those boundaries, that we suffer so much that in the midst of all this, that our discipline a lot of times comes from the consequences of our sin. It's out of love. He loves us to the point that he's willing to discipline us. He's willing to. I think I will read it. It says here, endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his child. In other words, he's saying if he's not going to discipline you, you're not even his child. You're illegitimate. I praise God today that I know that I've been grafted into the family of God. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. So we not even be more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they discipline us for a short time as seem best to them. But he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. It's the beautiful thing is he doesn't just discipline us just because that's what we need. Is he wants us to share in his holiness. And now further it says that he wanted years, it yields righteousness. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I want to walk into his holiness. And so if I reject his discipline, if I reject his word, I'm not going to walk in holiness. And I will continue to have weight and sin in my life that keeps me from running with perseverance, that keeps me from being the witness that he has called me to be. This is a moment that we can encourage one another with these words. And this is a source when we are locked away in our homes or wherever we are, is that we can encourage one another and build each other up. I heard something this week that was very eye opening on how the church can come together and we can encourage one another, come alongside of one another. My thinking was that this has to be hard on those individuals that are depressed, being locked away and not being able to see other people. But there was a study that was done. One of my college roommates, he was sharing it with me. And first I said, well, it's got to be hard. I even wrote something about it. We need to pray for those who are depressed because I feel like the walls are probably coming down on them. But he said it's really the opposite. And Heidi and I were talking about it yesterday. It's really the opposite. He says that a lot of depressed people, not all, but a lot of depressed people are basically, their spirit has come up a little bit. And this is an interesting reason why. Because they see other people dealing with what they deal with every day of their life. It's like there's some camaraderie there. And it's made them not be maybe as depressed because they're basically saying, see what I feel every day, locked away. See what I feel or feel what I feel. Interesting to me is that when we come alongside people, is that we want to share in their pain and share in their hurt. But if we have, and we want to run with them, I want to come aside. We want to run together. I know when my wife is part of a online running group, which is kind of interesting to me. I guess they get on and watch each other run. I'm kidding. They really don't. But they encourage one another. It's how you run side by side, and how when one begins to fall back a little bit, the other one sometimes won't keep on going. They'll fall back and say, I'm here with you. I remember when Allison Everett was with us, and I was riding a bike at a time at the time, because it was easier. It was good for me to do because, yes, I'll say it, because of my old tumor leg. And she said, you need to come ride with me. I said, Alice, I can't ride with you. I can't keep up with you. She said, yes, you can. It says, and she used these words. She looked at me and says, you can ride behind me, and you can do a draft off of me. If you know anything about what that means is, even in like the car racing industry, if a car's in front of you, it creates a draft, and it pulls you along. It makes it easier for you. It makes it easier for you to ride that bicycle, or you're behind a runner, that creates a draft that makes it easier for you. And she says, I won't leave you. And I always remember that, and I just equate it to what the Lord has promised us throughout His Word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you alone. If you'll just listen and open yourselves up for a discipline, you open yourselves up and let me show you the way. It yields this peaceful fruit. Listen to what he says, that peaceful fruit of righteousness in the end of this. It's like you sit back at the end of the day or the end of a journey, and you sit back and go, thank you, Jesus, I'm enjoying the journey. As they come and get ready to sing here at the end, as they get in a place to sing. Do you need any encouragement? I hope this scripture today encourages your heart. Do you need it? Do you need it? Do you need it in encouragement? I think you do. I know I have. As they come and get in place, this last scripture here is beautiful. It's just beautiful. After all of this, it says, therefore, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. In other words, when a runner runs, they want to run on straight path. Crooked paths are hard. They're difficult. And just like the author said here, just running, the things can get out of joint. You have the greater possibility of falling is when the road is like this, when you take roads like this. But when you're running a straight path that the Lord has called us to run, we can make it. We don't have to fall to sin around every corner. When temptation comes, we have the power in the name of Jesus and His Word to resist it. Why? Because He did. Because He is our example. Because He paid a price on the cross, and that we can lay everything down at His feet, and we can run and not grow weary. Will there be moments of hardship? Yes. Will there be times in our Christian walk that we will just go through our prayer closet and say, Lord, why me? Probably so. But at least you're going to Him. At least you're understanding what the author's saying. It reaps peaceful fruit of righteousness and holiness. It's when we run along with Him as He leads us. What does that wait? what is that sin that's keeping you from enjoying the journey that you're running with perseverance? That when time of discipline comes, you reject it. And when you reject discipline, guess what? Your life is going to be chaotic. When a child rejects the discipline from their father and mother, guess what? That child is setting themselves up for a life of chaos. I've seen mom and dads not discipline their children and give in to every little whim they had and everything they had, and their lives turn out to be so rotten and so wrong. And it's the responsibility of parents to leave their children. To even, it says here, to punish their children. In the first century, they still believe in taking a hand out and hitting that behind. And so I believe what God would say to us, that I love you so much that I will discipline you. I will discipline you because I want you to run the race. I want you to have righteousness and holiness that comes from me. And the only way that's going to happen is you have to learn on every step of the way. That's my prayer for us today. We're never alone. We're going to sing this song. You might think you're running alone, but you're not. Allow the Lord to use us to come alongside you. Maybe just put your arm around one of us and we might have to carry you for a while. But you know what? Next year I might just have to call out to you and you carry me. That's the body of Christ. Let's sing this together. I want you to just bow your head in your homes.